This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Jennifer and Taylor McFall from Area 6 tell us why this year has been special for them. But first, we have a training tip from Emily Bashir.
Well, this is one that I go back to quite a lot with different horses and different riders, and it's a jumping exercise to work on helping both the horse and the rider to learn a proper compact canter while jumping. You know, it's something that we use quite a lot gymnastically, but also out in the cross-country field. So it's something that can help the horse's ability both in the show jumping ring to produce a rounder, more correct jump, and then also on cross-country so that we, have variety in the types of canters that we need for the different approaches to the fences. So what it basically is to set it up, I feel that there are two main areas that go wrong when we're thinking of doing this. And one of the areas is that a horse loses its straightness. When you think of collecting the canter, it's very easy for them to start drifting or getting crooked. And then the other main area that we always have to address is that a horse can easily drop behind the leg. So whenever we're thinking of collecting the canter or creating a more compact canter to jump, we need to make sure that the horse stays pushing and stays with enough power. So what I have set up in the ring are two narrow oxers, and by narrow I mean the face is anywhere from 4 feet wide to 6 feet wide, just depending on what you have available. And they're set 48 feet apart. So that would be a normal three stride distance. And what I like to do is to start with them very small so that it's essentially no more than a Cavaletti type exercise, so maybe 2 feet high, but still enough width to the oxer that the horse has to push across it. So, you know, maybe 2.5 feet wide, something like that, depending on the level of the horse. And the exercise is actually to come through off both leads, but to be able to produce four strides in between the two narrow oxers. And when I work on this at home, I don't use it as an exercise where you jump in bold and try to shorten. I use it as an exercise to try to maintain the same quality of canter all the way through. So I would approach in a canter that's more compact than my normal show jumping canter and see what it is that I need to change in order for the horse to comfortably fit four strides in between the two narrow oxers. And then once that's happening, it might take several attempts, but once that's happening, then I'll make the jump slightly larger, slightly taller, slightly wider, and continue to work through the exercise. So in the end, once it's comfortable, then you can set the oxers back to a height that you would be normally competing at and come with your more forward show jumping canter. I think you'll find that it's really done quite a lot to help produce the correct round, powerful canter needed for the show jumping, because then the horse will do it easily in three strides without getting flat and without getting crooked. So the narrow oxers really help because it helps to focus the horse. And again, because they're oxers, the horse has to continue pushing even when they're small jumps. So it's a really useful exercise. It's something you can set up anywhere. And I hope it helps people out.
Thanks to Emily, and we will be featuring regular training tips on this podcast from riders around the country. Jennifer and Earl McFall have a reputation on the West Coast for producing young event horses, and Jennifer made a dream come true this year by riding in the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. Their daughter Taylor has also been making news this year. Jennifer joins me now. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's been a bumper year for you and lots to talk about. We want to obviously talk to Taylor a little bit later on about her buying her own pony, because she's famous already for that. Let's start with the year that you've had, not just with the young horses, but let's go back to Rolex of this year. Finishing there was a big deal for you, wasn't it?
Oh, truly, truly. It was a big dream come true. I've always been involved in eventing my entire life, but more as a hobby. The majority of my work was with the Morgan Show horses, and having High Times just gave me the opportunity to chase that dream. And I did my first 2-star of my career on him, and first 3-star, and now my first 4-star.
What were your expectations going into that competition this year, Jennifer?
I just wanted to honestly just live the experience. I wasn't sure, you know, even just a few years ago, if I would ever get to have the opportunity to do it. So just being there and fully realizing the scope of what I was doing was probably my main goal, and finishing, which we did. So a really thrilling experience.
And then you went back to the West Coast and won the intermediate, didn't you? The OI over there with him.
Yeah, he did. He's, he's a young horse. He's just 10 this year, and he is a horse full of heart and really tries for me. And now I think he's starting to understand the job too. So I think next year is going to be big for him.
Now, what will you do with him next year?
You know, our plans aren't totally solidified. But I just want to do what's right for him and his career. And I'd like to do Rolex again, if that's possible, and continue to grow with him and do as much as we can together.
Tell us about the other horses that you're competing with. Classic Twain DF, you went to Galway Downs with him, didn't you?
Yes. He's my five-year-old full thoroughbred, and I think he's really special. He gives me the same kind of feeling that High Times does over a fence. Just, you know that they'll make the right choice and jump every fence well for you, no matter how you get there. And it's a very confidence-building jump. He's pretty impressive.
So how many horses do you have in work that are showing or will be coming back out next season, Jennifer?
I just have the two for myself. I'm really trying to concentrate on doing the best I can with those two. Of course, our farm, we have several young horses that we're bringing along and are between Earl and I, you know, my husband. So, and we kind of split those up willy-nilly. So I don't know which one I'll be getting to show, but we have several nice young ones to come along too.
You're very involved, as we know, with the Future Event Horse program, and produced the champion at Galway Downs this year. Did very well with the yearling too.
Yes, that was really exciting. It was a beautiful show. I have to compliment Robert Kellerhouse on putting on a beautiful show, and the judges were, I think, impressed with the quality that was on the West Coast. And a lot of breeders came out to show their nice young horses. I was really proud of how well everyone did.
Tell us about the horses that you had there, the yearling and the three-year-old. What's their background and breeding?
Our three-year-old, Let's Go DF, is a Holsteiner gelding. His sire is Lenaro, and his dam is a mare called Ronnie D, who is actually Holsteiner thoroughbred cross, and one of our young riders is competing her at the preliminary level. And he's just a big, impressive, stretchy and loose-moving and quiet horse. He's kind of the full package. He's very handsome, very athletic, and very easygoing. So it's kind of funny. Earl was riding him around at the show prior to the FEH, and a lot of people stopped and asked him, oh, what division are you taking this new horse in? And Earl's like, well, he's actually only three, so he's not competing here under saddle, but he's just so willing and beautiful. He looks a lot more mature. And then our yearling, Simple Dreams DS, is a filly by Dragonfire Kieran, our Morgan stallion, and out of an Irish sport horse mare called Highland Empress, who is by Master Imp and out of a Cavalier Royale mare. So a really interesting breeding cross there, but it produced a filly that's just really keen, really confident, a real purposeful mover, and understands her job immediately and likes to perform.
And she really showed off in front of the two-year-olds as well, didn't she, by finishing third in the overall championship?
She really did. You know, she just handled herself with such class, was very confident and relaxed in her movement. I think she showed how well she understands her job, because she just performed loosely and quietly, and was very forward in her movements, and stood incredibly well, and really showed herself as a model citizen.
How many then are you breeding at this time then? Because you obviously have got a fair successful system going there, Jennifer, with your husband Earl, bringing on these young horses.
Well, we try to limit it. I think Earl tries to limit me, actually. We try to keep it to 2 to 4 a year, personally. Any more than that, and I think we get a little overwhelmed with producing them, because we really do like to be hands-on, you know, each year. As a yearling, two-year-old, we put a lot of work into them. They certainly get their time to go out and live as babies in the field as well, but we do like to put the base on them so that they're easy to train as three-year-olds and easy for their new owners when we sell them on as 3, 4, or 5-year-olds. So we put a lot of work into them, and so we try to limit how many we really have.
You also have in your daughter, Taylor, something of an entrepreneur. She has your business skills already, doesn't she, having saved up money for her first pony, her Connemara pony?
Oh, she does. I think she's aggressive like her father, and maybe like me in her passion. And I have to credit her grandfather, my dad, in the skills of saving money. That's maybe not my forte.
But she successfully did do that, having at least a pony from Leslie Lee. We want to talk to her in a moment if we can, because, I mean, obviously you as a parent must have been very proud, thinking, well, okay, she's really got the hang of this going forward if she's coming into the family business.
Absolutely. I am extremely proud, and just so overwhelmed by how wonderful everyone has been supporting this idea, and makes me feel great raising my daughter in the eventing community. I think you couldn't find a better childhood.
Perfect way to start and get into the sport. Now, Kilberry Prince is a pony she now owns, but how did it first come into your lives, Jennifer?
Interestingly enough, by accident, he came here as a recommendation for our riding academy pony to use in the school. And he proved to be a little too difficult for that. And we were using Taylor as kind of our, you know, guinea pig to see exactly what kind of kid would need to be riding this pony. And the rest is kind of history. She ended up falling in love.
Well, let's talk to Taylor now and see how she feels about being the owner of this new pony.
Hi.
Hi, Taylor. Well, congratulations. That was quite an interesting effort on your part to raise all that money to buy your pony. Did you really think you could do it?
I mean, part of me really wanted it to happen. Like, since I'm doing this, I might as well just say that it's going to happen. But my backup plan was that if I wasn't going to raise all of the money, I would donate it to a fund that gives grants to young riders to ride at high-level shows. But I actually did get Prince, and that's really amazing.
What made you think that you could raise enough money to buy your pony?
Well, the reason why I started was because Mom and Dad were in a little bit of a tough time, because none of the young horses were ready to sell yet, and it had been a while since we sold our last horse. We didn't really have any extra money laying around to just buy the pony out of nowhere. So I had to, I had some ideas, and I went around asking people for ideas about how to make money. And I got enough good ideas that I thought maybe I could do this.
So tell us how you raised that money.
With lots of hard work. I cleaned trucks. I baked pony puffs from 8 in the morning to about, like, 9 at night. I made lots of posters. I drew a lot of pictures. I I went around cleaning lots of tack, and I think the sponsors really liked it, and they helped me out a lot.
How long did it take you to raise the money you needed then, Taylor, from the time you started till the time you actually became the owner?
Well, we started, our main thing that we started at was Rebecca Farms in July. And then we kept doing it until November Galway. That was our last show. And that was a pretty long time, it felt like, for me, but...
That was a lot of work to put into it. So obviously it was a pony that you fell in love with and it was all worthwhile. Why did you fall in love with him so much?
Well, mainly because even though he was stubborn when I first got him, I noticed that all the other owners were really impressed because he liked me a lot more than he liked anyone else. Because with other people, he was just crazy with. But with me, he really started to fix, himself. And he got really nice. I mean, he became so quiet when he used to spook at every little thing. And he became more, he listened to me more. And he didn't just do his own thing like he used to do. And now on cross country, he doesn't run crazy willy-nilly as fast as he can. And now he paces himself. And we have come close to winning lots of Optimum Time Awards.
And what's he like in the barn? What sort of character is he?
Well, he can't stay in the stall because he gets too fresh. That's one of the things that we've learned with him. He has many little quirks that we need to remember about him. He can't stay in the barn, so he stays out in the pasture. But he's really sweet. But he is a little bit too sweet. And the mares that he stays with push him around a little bit. So I need to sneak him lots of extra food.
What's he like then to groom and to tack up? Is he well behaved?
He's really well behaved. And I think he actually likes getting groomed and having ribbons put in the mane and getting braided and everything. And being tacked up, the only thing that he's mad about is the girth and he puffs up his belly and then you have to tighten it every time before I get on.
Once you get on and get out there with him, does he really listen to you? Have you got the partnership that you want with him or is it still a work in progress?
We're still a little bit in a work of progress with some small things, but he tries hard now, a lot harder than he used to with other owners. And the main place where he's really calm and listens the most is when we're on our track, because usually there all we do is just walk him out and he feels happy there. So sometimes I train him a little bit out there, like without him knowing. And he just gets more relaxed and he's a lot easier. Work with.
And then what about the competition itself then? Once he's done his dressage and then he's gone jumping, gone cross country, is he the sort of pony that knows when he's done well? Does he get full of himself?
He kind of does. I mean, like, he expects treats after every single ride. Like, even just lessons at a show, he's like, okay, I know I did good. Where are the treats? And the funny thing is, I made so many pony puffs, but he only got one bag this whole time, so I had to feed him pony puffs, treats that were not made by me.
He's not spoiled, is he, Taylor?
He's pretty spoiled. I mean, I give him, like, buckets full of grain every day.
I think he's got the right home there, hasn't he? He's got a pretty good life going on with you now.
He does. I mean, he's super happy, and I think he just likes me more. I think we have a really special connection.
I think you must have. So what's the plans for him for next year? Is he having a bit of a holiday now and then you'll come out next year?
Yeah, well, the only thing I really do during winter with my ponies is my parents have a little mini show for our academy kids. We call it the Jingle Bell Show, and we kind of like little jumps with Christmas decorations and some small dressage tests and little like equitation classes and walk trot and lead line. And me and Prince are trying to go for best decorated pony again this year.
Again? And so you won before, did you?
Yeah, I won the best decorated pony last year because I braided tinsel and ornaments into his mane and tail and gave him red and green polo wraps.
What do your friends think about this, the relationship you have with your pony and doing all the chores that you did to raise money to buy him?
Well, I don't think my younger friends that are younger than me really understand how much hard work it is, but they're definitely happy for me. And the plan for next year is I'm going to go to the three-day novice at Tribeca Farms, and then the plan is that I will, next year I will move up to training with him.
What do you want to do when you grow up and leave school? Do you know what you want to do after that?
Well, the plan is, but I want to be just like Mom and Dad, like eventing and training and having my own breeding program and having really nice horses and getting to ride at all these different shows. Even though it might be hard work, I think that's what I want to do.
So what would you say to all those other little girls that are listening then, Taylor, who envy you for having done what you've done and bought your own pony?
Well, I would say to them, don't envy me. They should just be themselves, and if they really want something, they should work hard for it, and usually people will help you. But if they don't, you just have to work really hard.
Well, that's very good advice, Taylor. Thank you very much for that, and thank you for coming on the program, and I wish you the very best of luck with him, and I hope you have
thank
a great
you.
Season next year. Good luck.
Well, thank you for having me.
And a reminder that these podcasts are available for download from the iTunes Store to your smartphone podcast apps. And if you know of anyone who is hearing impaired, they can find the full transcript of these podcasts on the website at useventing.com. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.